Amen. You may be seated. Good morning, everybody. Oh, I'm going to stir you up. Praise the Lord. Good morning, everybody. Well, it's so good to see everybody. We just take another moment to welcome those that are visiting Family Church here today. We're just so honored to have you. For those of you that are brand new with us, my name is Pastor Tim Stallman, and I'm the senior pastor here. Pastor Brad Hofer is our associate pastor. We just welcome you. We know that God's got a plan for your life, and that plan is right here in the Word of God, and we want to connect you to it. You know, Jesus said this, that man cannot live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You know, how many of you know we can't live on our paychecks alone? You know, we cannot just live on our jobs or what we have. You know, we got to live on the Word of God. And so if you're here and you're new to Family Church and you're wondering what kind of church this is, we're a Bible teaching church. Amen. We believe the Word of God. And we're just encouraged by the Word, but we're also challenged by the Word. And that's a good thing. Church, whose opportunity is it to make sure that our visiting guests feel warm and welcome? That's all of ours. Let's welcome those that are visiting here today. So good to have you. So good to have new faces with us all the time. You know, we're just excited about all the things that are going on around here. Don't forget, so 80% of those youth camp spaces are already taken up, all right? And that means, you know, those spaces are completely sponsored outside of a $25 registration fee. The rest of the camp is free up to those first 100 kids. That means four nights, that means all the activities, all the food, and an absolute life-changing experience, you know, for those kids. The first year we had the youth camp, we had 50-some kids. Last year we had like 83, and now we're already up to that already, and we're gonna have 100, or why not, if we get more than that, why don't we just keep on going? Amen. Praise the Lord. So we're excited about that. Don't forget to get signed up. Also, we just have some great news to report. We had the men's breakfast here yesterday morning. It was a wonderful time. I'll tell you what, we had almost 60 guys show up, and we put a hurting on some food. But the best news is that there was many new guys that had, you know, visited, you know, and were the first time here. And there was five gentlemen that accepted and received Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Yes. Amen. And so we're very excited about that. Folks, everything we do, salvation has got to be first. Salvation has got to be our heart and our desire to see every man, woman, and child, whether they're rich, poor, regardless of their church background or no church background, regardless of ethnicity or age or any of that. We need to see, you know, people receiving Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Folks, I'm going to tell you the truth. There is a heaven. There is a hell. But the good news is God sent his Son and sacrificed him for us all that we can go to heaven. Amen. Praise the Lord, and we need to tell people that message. Unfortunately, the body of Christ is under attack, you know, right now, where so few Christians or even churches are even giving salvation calls and invitations to know Jesus. Folks, that's got to be first and foremost. Always has got to be the priority. Amen. And so we love to report when there are men and women who have accepted Jesus as their Lord and Savior. Are you ready for the Word of God here today? Amen. Turn with me over to Matthew chapter 12. And today I'm going to call this message the home, the city, and the nation. Or maybe a better title for this message would be what every man needs to know. Now, when we start addressing the men, that doesn't mean that we're going to exclude the ladies. And I have a little confession right off the top of this service, especially for the men that were at our breakfast yesterday morning. I wasn't originally planning on ministering along these lines in our main services. This was just something that I originally started just preparing to share with the men at the men's breakfast. And then when we ministered yesterday morning, you know, I had a totally different direction for today and for last night in Erie. But all of a sudden, I just feel that I am to minister this message in our main services. It's going to be very similar, men. If you were at the breakfast, it's going to be very similar. We may add a little to it as we go. And ladies, there is definitely going to be, you know, a part of this message that applies to you big time. And so I'm not preaching this because Father's Day is coming up. I'm not preaching this to make the guys happy or the ladies happy. I'm just preaching this because it just seemed good to the Holy Ghost. Yesterday, when I was ministering, there was unction and utterance to share this message to all the men in our church family. Amen. Go over to Matthew chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 22. Today, I'm in the New American Standard translation of the Bible. Your Bible will sound almost identical. It's just a more modern translation, and we do have it in our system. We can use that. That will be on the screen. Or if you have your Bible with you, it'll be almost identical to what you have. But here in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus Christ, he is contending with the Pharisees. How many of you remember those Pharisees? Boy, the name Pharisee has almost become synonymous now with something very negative, right? But the Pharisees of their day, they were the religious elite. They were the religious leaders in Israel. They were the most educated. They knew the most about God's word. They conducted, operated within the priesthood. And of course, they were very important to the temple and the house of God. But how many of you know, by the time Jesus arrived on this earth, the Pharisees had become very corrupt. They had become very religious. They just lived an outward life for God, but inwardly they had nothing to do with the Lord. And of course, they did not like Jesus. They were very threatened by him. They criticized him. They always were attempting to catch him off guard or to trick him into making a mistake. How many of you remember all the times that the Pharisees, contested with Jesus? Well, we find another example of that right here in Matthew chapter 12. And Jesus is talking about casting out demons because you're going to see he's going to heal a man who was demon-possessed. He could not see and he could not speak because a demon had literally encroached upon this man's life. Now, folks, that doesn't mean that all blindness is a result of a demon. That doesn't mean all sickness is the result of a demon. But this man was demon-possessed. And of course, whenever, Satan gets a hold of somebody's life, of course, he can do a lot of damage to our bodies, to our minds, to our emotional health and all this. And that's what was going on here. Let's pick it up here in chapter 12 and verse 22. And as we read through this, Jesus starts to touch on spiritual principles of spiritual authority, leadership, and headship. And he's going to talk about headship in the home. He's going to talk about headship in the city. And he's going to talk about headship in the nation. All right. And we're going to see, that these principles of spiritual authority, they apply to our lives right down to the home level. I'm going to end the suspense right now. The reason why our nation is suffering in so many ways is because a lot of the homes in America are out of order, not being run God's way, all right, not having proper headship and leadership in the home. Whatever happens in the home will set the direction for the entire nation. What God wants to do in a region or the entire nation all starts with the family. It all starts with the marriage. And I'm just going to give you a little heads up. It starts with the man. Ooh, boy, here we go. Folks, I'm not here to talk on politics. I'm not here to get political. I'm also not here to be politically correct. I'm not sexist. I don't care if somebody calls me that. I don't care if this, doesn't fit into our national society conversation. I'm not here to please people or to give people what they like. We're here to give God what he likes. Amen. And men, you're going to be encouraged. Praise the Lord. And ladies, I believe you will be too. But look at what Jesus says here about spiritual authority. And remember, we've been talking about that subject. Remember, we talked about why God made humanity. God made humanity to have dominion. God made humanity to resist Satan. The very purpose of the creation of man and woman was to stand against evil. This past week, just a couple of days ago, actually, somebody sent me a clip of Billy Graham, teaching about spiritual authority. I had never heard that sermon taught by him. And I'll be honest, I was really surprised that he was teaching on dominion and authority, because so many times, maybe some denominational backgrounds really kind of stay away from it, but not Billy Graham. I was just incredibly impressed. And he said some things, you know, that shocked me. And of course, some things that we've been saying around here. He said, God made man first and foremost to have dominion and authority. And he said something that is just so profound. Man, I wish I had said this. just so envy, you know, just so much wisdom in that man. I'll tell you what, our nation needs another Billy Graham. We need stable spiritual leadership. I don't care what sect of Christianity they come out of, as long as they're following the word of God. But Billy Graham, he said this. He said, man was not made to pursue a paycheck. God made man to pursue purpose. And he said this. He said, God did not make man to be employed. God made man to be deployed. I love that. He said that we were made not to just chase money. Of course we're going to have a job, and thank God for the paycheck, you know. But he said God's, you know, purpose for making humanity was to deploy us into the earth, to be the ones that resisted all that Satan would try to do. And a lot of people today, they try to say, well, Satan's not real. I don't believe in the devil. Well, I'll tell you what, then you're deceived already. Because I'll tell you what, the devil believes in you. And I'll tell you what, he's got a plan, and he wants to steal that dominion that God has given you. He wants you to lay down your authority against him. Satan wants to deceive and to absolute just fool and steal from the people of God. But folks, we need to make sure that we don't let that happen. Amen. And so Jesus now is going to start mentioning some more principles about spiritual authority. Let's pick it up here in verse 22. It says, then a demon-possessed man who was blind and mute was brought to Jesus. Jesus healed him so that the mute man could speak and he could now see. It says, all the crowds were amazed and were saying, can this man be the son of David? And it says in verse 24, but when the Pharisees heard this, they said, this man, Jesus, casts out demons only by Beelzebub, the ruler of the demons. Well, that's a really foolish thing to say. And Jesus is going to call them out on that. And he says in verse 25, and Jesus, knowing their thoughts, Jesus said to them, any kingdom divided against itself is laid waste or cannot stand. And any city or house, everyone say house. So now notice that these principles are not just in the rulership of nations, but also how we run our homes, right? He says any kingdom, you know, a city or house that is divided against itself will not stand. If Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How then will his kingdom stand? Wow. He says, Jesus says, if I, by Beelzebub, cast out demons, by whom do your sons cast them out? For this reason, they shall be your judges. But look what Jesus says in verse 28. He says, but if I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you or come near you. Verse 29, and now look, listen to the illustration that Jesus uses to teach about having spiritual authority over the demonic realm. Jesus says, or how can anyone enter the strong man's house, everyone say house, and carry off his property or his goods unless he first binds the strong man? Then he will plunder his house. Now go back up there to verse 26. We're going to get into some of these things. Folks, we see that Jesus was being accused of casting out demons by the power of Satan. And Jesus, you know, he corrects the Pharisees. He says, that's ridiculous. Satan does not cast himself out. Anyone that is divided against himself cannot stand. Any nation that's divided against itself cannot stand. Any city divided against itself cannot stand. And any home divided against itself cannot stand. Jesus is being accused of casting out demons by the power of Satan. But Jesus was explaining that even Satan is smart enough not to resist his own self. Satan is smart enough to get out of his own way. Oh, hello. Jesus is teaching on the laws of spiritual authority, headship, and leadership. And folks, I'm going to cut right to the chase. I'm not going to go through dozens of scripture that tells us all throughout the New Testament of this truth. Folks, this is talking about a home, a city, and a nation. And I'm going to tell you, and you know this already, that the Bible says in the New Testament, who is the spiritual head of the home according to the Word of God? Amen. I'm going to say it again because we're all so scared to say it. Our society has become so attacked, so canceled by any idea of strong leadership from a man in a home that we're actually terrified to shout it out because of what people might think. The spiritual head of every home is who?
The man.
The man. Woo. Now, women, when I say that, that is not diminishing you. You have an equal role to a man in the home. It's just different than the man's role in the home. All right? Jesus is talking about the spiritual laws of headship, authority, or control. All right? And we need to understand God operates on these laws of authority. He operates on the laws of headship. God will not go around headship in a nation. If we elect a president who's doing damage in the White House, you know, whether you think it's now or before or whatever you think politically, but if someone's elected into a political office, God will honor that choice of a nation. You have to know and understand that. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 13, it says that political people, politicians who stand in civic office, they are the ministers of God, or they are the ministers to do justice in the land. Now, unfortunately, not all of them do what God wants them to do, but God still has a reason for them there, and God will honor their authority even if their authority is against him. Yes, he told the Romans who were living under a very wicked Caesar, he said, don't you speak against, you know, the powers that be. In our nation, we're downright addicted to hating on the president. I'll tell you what, we get one out of there, we get a new guy that everybody wanted, and then everybody's just down on him too. You know, and it doesn't mean you have to agree with what everybody's doing in office, but as Christians, we're supposed to pray for these people. Even people of the political party that you don't like, you still pray for them. There's a lot of evil people in our government doing evil things, but what God asks me to do is pray for them instead of just run my mouth how bad they are all the time. We've all run our mouths. But the point I'm making is that God will honor spiritual headship even when headship isn't doing everything right. And the head of the home is the who? The man. Does that mean every man does right? No. Is there any men here today, any husbands that you've ever made mistakes in your spiritual headship in your home? Right. Well, there's plenty of mistakes. Ladies, you did a good job not amening right there. Right? Men are going to make mistakes. Men are going to be fallible at times. Men are going to do things that don't make sense. But I'm here to tell you, God still is going to honor their spiritual headship in the home. These laws govern kingdoms and nations, cities and houses. They are spiritual laws, and they will direct nations. They will set the course for kingdoms. They will set control over regions and cities and over homes and families. These spiritual laws will set the destinies of marriages, the futures of children, right? The outcome of what God wants to do, the destiny of nations, it all starts with spiritual headship in the home. If a city is filled with homes that are out of order, guess what's going to happen to that city? It's going to be divided. If a nation is filled with homes that are against God, guess what's going to happen? Our nation is going to fall. And more ground is being lost to the enemy in our nation because more ground is being given up in the homes, in the houses, and more ground is being lost with men in our nation because our nation has all of a sudden started thinking that masculinity is evil. All of a sudden, our society thinks it's wrong for a man to be in leadership. All of a sudden, we're trying to take our system is getting so confused that we're trying to make men into women and women into men. We're taking biological men and putting them in women's sports. All of a sudden, everyone, you know, thinks that that's okay. That's not okay. That's just a sign of what the devil is trying to do in our nation, and that is to emasculate men, to bring them down, and to get things out of God's order. Woo! Praise the Lord. It all starts with spiritual headship in the home. And this does not mean that a man gets to be a tyrant. It does not mean that a man gets to, you know, be the tyrant over his wife. No, it means a man who is walking with God will be, you know, kind. He will be generous to his wife, you know, nurturing to his kids. He will be a man that will love the things of God, a man that puts God first, a man who will protect his family, a man that will make sure that his family has more than enough. Are you here? Praise the Lord. So don't think that this is, you know, a rah-rah speech to empower men to be tyrants. No, 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 no. I'll tell you what, when God gets a hold of a man's heart, it'll make him tender, it'll make him sacrificial, it'll make him generous, but it also will make him strong to defend the things that belong to God. Amen. Are you here? Ooh, am I gonna say this? I, as a pastor for 20 years, I have seen too many families where the woman is wearing the pants in the family. And I'm here to tell you, that's wrong. Woo! Wonder who's coming back next week. Well, you know, you got to be very careful. You know, all of a sudden, you know, if the man is regressing in his ability to lead and the woman has to step up and take the lead, I'm just here to tell you, your home is going to get out of order. So ladies, you're gonna have to let your man lead at times. You know, you're gonna have to let him lead. Even what I mean at times is even at times when he makes mistakes. God will still honor that spiritual headship. And men, this message is designed, you know, to encourage you to step up. Amen. Not saying that you're not doing that here, because guys, we have a lot of wonderful godly men here in this church. Amen. Go down to verse 29. Let's look at this. Jesus says, how can anyone enter the strong man's house and carry off his property or steal what he has unless he first, everyone say first, binds the strong man? Jesus is using a natural illustration to teach about the demonic realm. The natural illustration is this. If someone is breaking into a home to steal the goods of the home or to hurt the women and the children in the home, who did God first put in place to defend that home? Amen. The man. And Jesus called him a strong man. Woo, praise the Lord. Not a feminine man. A strong man. A man is supposed to be a man, and a woman is supposed to be a woman. There should be no confusion. There should be no blurred lines between the two. God said in Genesis chapter 1, he made them both male and he made them female. There is a distinction. And now the natural illustration that Jesus is using here, if someone is breaking into a home, if someone is there with male intent to break into a home, who is the first line of defense in that home? The man. And I'm gonna burst your spiritual bubble. The first line of defense is not an angel. It's not. The Bible says that angels will go before. Don't you? I believe in angelic help. No evil befall us. No plague near our dwelling. Angels are there to assist those that are in authority in the home. But the authority of the home is not angels. The authority in the home is the man. And if someone is coming through my door with bad intentions, guess what? I'm not going to the door with an angel. Unless it says angel on my 357 Magnum. Or my 12-gauge shotgun and say, Pastor, you would defend your home with lethal force. Try me. Yeah. Absolutely. You say, you mean someone was breaking in? You say, well, how do you know what they're there to do? If they're coming through my door when it's locked, if they're breaking and entering my house, I can only assume that they're there to do harm. I'm not going to take a survey of what they're intending to do. All right? Praise the Lord. I'll tell you what, yes, thank God for our law enforcement, thank God for 911, but I'm telling you guys, you better be 911. And, you know, and this is absolutely what Jesus is talking about. A strong man is supposed to be the defender of his home. He protects the atmosphere of his home. Now, Jesus is using this to illustrate spiritual laws. Because not only is a man naturally supposed to protect the home, he's spiritually supposed to protect the home. Oh, praise the Lord. Never forget this. The battle of good and evil, heaven versus hell, God versus Satan, angels versus demons, that battle of good and evil always starts right there in the home. Our nation is being overrun by evil because evil is overrunning men in the houses. Absolutely. Because men are getting confused of what their role is. All of a sudden, men are scared to take a strong lead. And again, a strong man does not have to be a tyrant, is not someone who just imposes his will, you know, over his wife and his kids and just acts like, you know, King Kong to have his own way. That's not what we're talking about. A strong man says, I don't want it my way. I want it God's way. And God's way is me leading the home and being an example of kindness and nurturing and protection and strength. Are you here today? It all begins with the headship of the home, or what Jesus said, the strong man. God and Satan both know this truth. They both know that whoever controls the man of the house can set the destiny or the course for that house. God and Satan both know that whoever has control of that house can change the destinies of the children, can destroy the unity in the marriage. Why would Satan want to destroy the unity of a marriage? Well, the scripture says that one can put 1,000 to flight, but two can put 10,000 to flight. When there's unity between a godly couple, it literally multiplies exponentially the ability to do God's work for the kingdom of God when they are in agreement together. Satan wants to destroy that multiplication of power and strength. And so he's going to try to get control. Like what Jesus said, he has to first bind the strong man. Absolutely. Satan knows and understands that he's got to get control. He's got to suppress. He's got to depress. He's got to get that man to relinquish strength in his home. Because if he will relinquish, you know, strength in his home, he's going to give away his authority. He's going to give away his headship. It's going to disqualify the house from having things God's way. Are you here? The battle for our national conscience and our national spiritual health, it begins with the battle in the home. It begins with the battle to control the man of the house. Yes, absolutely. Did you notice there in verse 26? Can you go back up to verse 26? Jesus said this, if Satan casts out Satan, he is divided against himself. How will his kingdom, everyone say kingdom, how will Satan's kingdom stand? These are the words of Jesus Christ. Notice Jesus said that Satan has a kingdom. Oh boy, a lot of people today don't even believe that Satan is real. Oh, Satan is more than real. He has an entire kingdom, Jesus said. His kingdom is filled with demonic personalities. His kingdom is based on fear. It is based on anxiety. It is based on a lack of self-control. It's based on hate and hurt. In stealing and killing and destroying, Satan has a kingdom. Folks, I'm here to tell you, and that kingdom of Satan is designed to attack the home. Satan's kingdom is absolutely real, and that kingdom pressures against us on a daily basis, whether we know it or not. Folks, are you getting a hold of this? Satan's kingdom is operating. Satan's kingdom has tactics. And he uses these tactics against us. And we need to know and understand that those tactics absolutely begin with trying to bind the strong man of the house. If Satan's going to topple nations, if he's going to topple cities and regions, he's first got to go into the home and start by binding or spiritually hindering or distracting men. Are you here today? That's right. Amen. Our national conscience will be instilled by men in their home. God intended every home to be led by a strong man. Go down to verse 29. Praise the Lord. God intended every home to be led by a man who is not divided against his own home. He designed every home to be led by a man who is submitted to God's will. God intended every home to be led by a man who is yielded to the directives of the Holy Ghost. Yeah, are you here today? Glory to God. He intended, you know, every home to be led by a man that understands the sacredness of the Lord's house. Every home led by a man that values the things of God above other things. A man of God who is like Jesus Christ, who sacrifices himself for his wife and his kids to make sure that he is setting the right priorities in the home. Praise the Lord. God intended every home to be led by a man who sets the spiritual climate, who sets the right priorities in the home, and is a pursuer of God's wisdom in the home. Amen. Praise the Lord. Are you getting a hold of this? Yes. God intended every man to lead a home to be a rock of stability, to pursue spiritual things. But let's just get real honest with ourselves real quick. Are you ready for this? You know, I know the answer to this, you know, just watching this over the course of 20 years of being a pastor. But typically, if, you know, in relationships, Christian marriages, you know, who has a tendency out of the husband and the wife, who has a tendency, and I would say it's probably 70 or 80% of the time, one of them has a tendency to be more spiritual than the other. And do you think that, you know, generally speaking, of course, there's plenty of exceptions, but generally speaking, do you think it tends to be the man or the woman that is more spiritual? Let's go ahead and say it, the woman. Absolutely. We see in the body of Christ, about 70% of most church attendance is women versus 30% men. You know, why do I see as a pastor so many marriages where the woman is constantly, you know, trying to coax her husband into being more spiritual, trying to hope that he would spend more time reading his Bible, hoping that he would actually take some time to pray, that he would serve in the church and go to church? Why is it that so many women are praying and actively trying to, you know, push their husbands into being more spiritual? Why is there such an indifference among men that they have no interest in the things of God? Why are most men in our nation more wrapped up in sports, more wrapped up in hobbies? They will simply, they'll go to a picnic before they go to church. If the weather's nice, they stay home. The women want to go to church. And up until this last year, we had kind of an anomaly year. But almost every year, Mother's Day is packed out and Father's Day is eh. Because mom wants to go to church, dad wants to have a picnic. Why is there such a disparity between the spirituality of men and women in our nation? I will tell you why. Because Satan attacks men more than he attacks women. The spiritual law of headship, we see it now in Matthew 12, 29. Jesus is referring to Satan. If Satan can get in and steal and rob in the home and bring that home down, he first, everyone say first, first binds the strong man. Just like a thief. You know, a thief trying to get into my house, he knows I am his biggest threat. He knows I'm the biggest problem in that place, you know? I mean, my wife is tough and all. you know, she might be able to throw a high heel at her, you know, something. You know, I'm just kidding around. Goodness, some of you looked at me like, listen, I heard that Sense of Humors are on sale up at Walmart. Maybe you can go grab one. We're just kidding around, just joking. But Satan knows that he has to bind the strong man. Why are men so often plagued with an attack of indifference for the things of God? Men, can you testify that you've come up against times where you just have to just downright force yourself to be interested in God? Is there any man in here that would testify to that? You know why that is? Because that's an attack. That's a demonic attack. Satan doesn't, come to our front door, knock on our door with a pitchfork and a pointy tail. He's very subtly working against men to be very uninterested in the things of God. Why will Satan just keep throwing out all these personal interests in front of a man so he'll pursue all these other temporary things but does not pursue eternal things? The measure of a man is his ability to pursue eternal things over temporary things. Why are women more likely to have a greater sense of eternal purpose than most men? Because most men are the absolute first one who's attacked in the home. Are you here today? Why is this? Because the man will be most attacked, and that's not to diminish the struggles and the temptations and the trials. Believe me, the wife and the woman shares in those attacks. Don't misunderstand. But the man will be the most attacked person in the home because Satan understands this law of spiritual authority, and Jesus was teaching about it. He was letting us know. Absolutely. Satan knows that if you spoil the man, you can hurt the house, you can hinder the children, you can destroy the course and the effectiveness of unity within a marriage, you can change the destiny of that home and the people in it. Satan knows this. So men, listen, I'm here to tell you, there's some good news and there's bad news, and I don't mean the bad news to stay bad. But you will be the most attacked in your home. You know, Satan will absolutely do anything to keep a man from taking his place as the spiritual head of that home. And guys, here's the good news. It doesn't mean you can't enjoy hunting. It doesn't mean that you can't enjoy golf or sports or whatever it is that you're into. Praise the Lord for things that we get to enjoy. But whenever you start putting those things in front of the things of God, you're now out of order and you're not taking your spiritual headship. Amen. There is power when a man leads his home and says, church is going to be first in our lives. God is going to be first. We're going to build our lives around the things of the Lord. It's powerful when your kids see a dad who's praying in the home. It's powerful when your kids see, dad reading his Bible or see dad, walking these things out in the things of the Lord. Amen. It's powerful. It'll change those kids. I'm here to tell you, it will set something in their conscience. It'll draw them to serve God. Today, I'm going to give four things that Satan tries to bring against men, to try to get us divided against ourselves. Are you ready for this? Number one attack against most men is this: discouragement. Discouragement. Oh boy. And you say, well, ladies, the ladies might be sitting here thinking, well, this doesn't pertain to me. I don't have to, pay attention or whatever. Well, ladies, you need to understand this. Because I'll tell you what, your husband needs your help. Your husband needs encouragement. Because Satan is constantly pressing upon him to be discouraged. There is an absolute assault upon the minds of men to tell men that they are failures, to tell men that they are unsuccessful, to tell men that they are worthless. I mean, we see it in our society. It's a nonstop assault by the woke progressives to try to absolutely emasculate and take men down and try to empower everything else around them except for themselves. There's an assault on the minds of men to feel like they're less or like they're incapable. Satan's gonna tell men, you're a failure. You're not spiritual. You have no interest in the things of God. What's wrong with you? Oh, you should just pursue this hobby over here. Skip church and do this instead. That discouragement. Or, men will go through spiritual laziness. It absolutely is an attack of spiritual laziness. And then the devil will knock on the mind of a man and say, look at how spiritually lazy you are. Look at you. You don't pray like those women pray. Look at you. You're just lost and you're a loser. Well, I'll tell you what, man, I've got good news. The Bible says that we are to cast down every thought and imagination that comes against us, even when the devil is telling us the truth. What do you do when the devil actually says something about you, accuses you again, you know, for something, and it happens to be true? Has the devil ever criticized you? And you're like, well, my goodness, that's actually true. Here's the thing, the devil does tell the truth once in a while. Remember he did with Jesus up there on the mountain when he took Jesus to show him all the nations of the earth. Remember that? Satan showed Jesus all the nations of the earth, and he told Jesus, all this has been delivered unto me, and to whom I will, I give it. Do you know that that's actually true? Do you know that as we stand, you know, right on the earth today, the nations of the earth do not belong to God? There's coming a day he's taking them all back. Amen. Glory to God. But you have to understand the laws of jurisdiction and how Satan operates his kingdoms on this earth. And I'm here to tell you, except for the church, except for those that are born again, Satan does exercise authority on the earth. Jesus called him the prince of this earth. Paul called him the god of this world. You know, Paul said he's the spirit that works in the children of disobedience. He's the prince of the power of the air. Remember that in the Bible? Praise the Lord. And so, you know, Satan's going to absolutely, you know, knock on the minds of men and women as well and tell you what a failure you are. Look how spiritually lazy you are. You've done nothing good for God. Well, what if you're going through an attack of spiritual laziness? Meaning that attack is something that we can just get ourselves out of. But, you know, he will take the feelings that you're going through and he'll try to multiply them through your emotions and tell you what a loser you are, how unsuccessful you are, right? Well, it might even be true at that moment. But what do you do even when the devil tells you the truth about yourself? Still cast it down. Amen. Listen, I'll tell you what. When the devil picks a fault of mine, attacks me with it, tries to beat me over the head with it, and even if I have to admit that it's true, I still cast down, you know, that thought, and I say, Satan, get behind me because I'm washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. None of us in here are perfect. None of us have ever fully arrived spiritually, but that's when the blood of Jesus gets in there, covers us, and fills the cracks and the gaps there that we have in our life. Aren't you glad? Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't allow Satan to discourage you. You still have to use your authority against discouragement, even if the discouragement seems to be true. I refuse to be discouraged. You know, and that's why I'm always up here saying we're sons and daughters of God. Amen. Listen, just because you've made mistakes, just because you've had failures at times, does not mean that you allow Satan to just push his discouragement all over you. Glory to God. I'll tell you what, he said he would not leave me. The Lord said he would never forsake me. He said that he would walk with me. He said that he would comfort me and give me strength. Listen, folks, if we could do this alone, if we were perfect all on our own, then we wouldn't have needed a Savior. Don't allow discouragement, men. And now, ladies, here's your side of this. Your man needs encouragement. We don't need to be telling men all the things they're doing wrong, because society is doing that all on their own. They don't need any help. Be careful, women, because Satan is going to try to employ you to tell your husband, you know, how bad he's been doing, or he's not this enough. He's a failure. I wish he was more like this. If you're dealing with accusational thoughts against your spouse, I'm here to tell you those thoughts are coming from the enemy. Every accusational thought, it does not come from God. It comes from the kingdom of Satan. Is there anybody here today? Now, if you're here and you're a man and you're saying, well, I don't really deal with discouragement as much, well, that's why we have a list here, because one of these things will apply to you at some point. Here's the second thing that the devil tries to use to divide men in the home. Fear. Fear will try to get upon a man, and a lot of times men don't even realize that it's fear. Now, the fear that I'm going to talk about here is the fear that I mentioned, you know, just recently here in the church, and that is the fear of fully obeying God. One of the greatest fears that I see with men, They are afraid of what it would cost them or what they would have to give up to be fully submitted to God. When a man knows that he's supposed to be following the Lord, he's supposed to be leading the home spiritually, the devil knocks on his brain and says, yeah, but think of all the time you're going to have to give up. Oh, think about the money. Oh, if you really are going to obey God and you start giving and tithing, think about the money it's going to cost you. Oh, think about the things you won't be able to do. Think about you won't be sleeping in on Sundays. Oh, you might have to watch those relationships. You know, you might have to give up, you know, some of your drinking buddies. Oh, boy. And the devil's going to knock on a man and say, no, you don't want to lose all that. And see, what that is the fear of what it would cost you to serve God fully. But I'm here to tell you, whatever it costs to serve God, he's going to far exceed with the blessing of the Lord. You will be happier than you've ever been. You have more joy than you've ever had, more peace than you've ever had, a better marriage than you've ever had. Glory to God. Don't allow Satan to convince you that the cost is more than the grace that God pours on you. Don't be discouraged and don't fall into the fear of serving God fully. Amen. Satan assaults men with the deception of all that they would lose if they would just completely, if they surrender to God, they're going to lose this, they're going to lose that, they're going to lose this. Well, yeah, it might cost you to serve the Lord. But I'm here to tell you, the blessings will far make up for it and far exceed anything the devil would try to do against you. Here's a third thing that the devil tries to bring against a man to bring him into division or to divide the home, and that's temper. Or anger. Anger does not work the righteousness of God, right? The Bible says in James chapter 1, it says, be slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger, for the anger of man or the wrath of man does not work the righteousness of God. The Bible says this in Proverbs 19:19. It says, a man of great wrath will suffer punishment. And boy, we could really quote a lot of scriptures about losing temper, you know, losing our control. See, that's exactly what temper is about. The Bible says over there in James chapter 3, it says, for where there is envy and strife, strife is when we fight because we lose control. There's an epidemic of fighting going on in homes, in marriages, in our land, even amongst the church. I don't mean just this church. I just mean the church in general. So many people, husbands and wives, fighting with each other, you know, screaming and yelling. And the Bible goes on to say, it says, where there's envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. If Satan can get you to lose control of your temper, he can cause confusion and work every evil plan of his. There's nothing that's worth winning that fight in your marriage. Satan knows that if he can get the man screaming and yelling, see, what Satan wants to do is to get the one who's in control out of control. When a man loses control and he starts flipping out and yelling and screaming and, you know, throwing things, slamming cupboards, you know, all this stuff, the devil knows that it will destroy the security of the children in the home. It will destroy the wife's sense of security, and a wife's confidence in her husband will be destroyed. Unity will be destroyed if the man thinks that he's ruling through temper all the time. See, the devil deceives a man and tells a man that strength is equal to temper. Anger does not give you strength. It is a false strength. It is a deception. Men feel like, well, if I just, you know, scream and yell, I'll force my way, I'll make my point. No, you're not. You're making the devil's point. The Bible says, envy and strife, it says, for this wisdom is devilish. Isn't that James chapter 3, verses 14 through 16? It says, this wisdom, or fighting and losing control of your temper, is devilish, right? Sensual, it's not from above, right? It does not come from God, it comes from Satan. You have to know and understand that the devil is going to tempt you to lose control of your temper, because Satan knows that if he can get anger in the home, he can work his plan. Satan's plan is to take the spiritual head of the home and get him out of control. A man who's following God should be the rock of stability in his home. Amen. Guys, this isn't to harp on you, right? This is to, God made man to be a winner. And these are the things that'll cause us to win in this life. Win God's way. Amen. Satan knows that a loss of temper and self-control will disqualify a home from what God wants to do there. Satan knows that the loss of temper will shatter a child's sense of security. It will shatter a wife's confidence in her husband, and it will unravel the fabric of stability in the home. Are you here today? Here's the fourth and final thing that Satan will try to bring against a man to divide the home, and that's bitterness. Oh, praise the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, how come you're up here chuckling? What that is just me realizing that I have to say some difficult things. And I just up here, you know, realize that, oh, Lord, if I could just up and disappear. Men, you're doing a great job. But you need to know and understand these spiritual laws. And ladies, you need to understand how much your husband needs your faith. How much he needs your encouragement. Don't find all the things that he's missing or doing wrong and tell him about it. Find the things he's doing right and tell him about it. You know, tell him what a good job he's doing. You know, tell him, you know, the things that he is accomplishing. Are you here today? Because your husband is going to make mistakes. He's going to make lots of them. You're going to see it. You'll be on the front row. And you're, you know, the devil will come and knock on the mind of a woman and say, why is he doing that? How dare he do that? Tell him how wrong he is. Tell him what a failure he is. Tell him what you expect of him. Ooh. Hello. Yeah, that's the enemy trying to tear that man down. Be careful. Encourage him. That doesn't mean, you know, if he's obviously, you know, hurting somebody or if there's physical violence, then call the police. You know what I mean? We're not talking about putting up with, you know, physical abuse. We're talking about personality conflicts, you know, within that personal relationship. Just because something annoys you or you don't like something that your husband's doing. And men, this would work for us as well. You know, we don't have to voice disapproval in every little thing these days. I'll tell you what, the body of Christ through social media has gotten addicted to exposing and attacking and criticizing everybody for everything. You know, and I've been, you know, I'm sure you have too, but I've been the butt of, you know, attacks like that and stuff. Who cares? Let it go. Forgive them. If someone's attacking you like that, just say, Lord, bless them real good. Bless them real good and go about your day. Amen. The fourth thing, though, that Satan tries to get on men is bitterness. The devil tries to convince a man that nothing is going right ever. Oh, man. The devil's going to come to you guys, and he's going to say, you know what? Your wife doesn't do enough for you. The devil's going to, you know, knock upon the brain of a man and say, you know what? Your wife isn't encouraging enough. Boy, I'm really going to, you know, take it one step further, and this is very uncomfortable to say, but I'm here to tell you that the devil will try to come to a man and say, your wife isn't attractive anymore. Your wife doesn't look like she did when, you got married, and so, you know, you should be disgusted with that. Oh, boy. You know, try to make a man bitter. You know, your wife should do more. You know, maybe if she did this, you could make more money. Or maybe if, you know, if she would do that, you'd be happier. Why isn't she like someone else's wife? Be careful. Be careful. What that is Satan trying to get a root of bitterness inside a man. Can you bring up Colossians 3:19? Is that where it is? Is that Colossians 3:19? Why does the scripture have to say this? Well, we're going to see why it says this. It says, husbands, love your wives. See, that's what a godly man does, right? He's patient with his wife. He's nurturing to his wife. He's generous to his wife. Amen. Praise the Lord. He spends more time with her than he does the guys. Amen. Doesn't mean you can't enjoy things, guys, but I'll tell you what, your wife needs your attention. She needs your love, your care. Amen. Praise the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be what? Embittered against them. The scripture says that because men are tempted to get bitter. You know? Men, let me just use a natural illustration of what I'm talking about. I'll tell you what, sometimes, guys, we can get bitter if dinner, you know, is running a little late. And I don't mean because the wife has to make dinner every single night. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just saying that men, if we don't eat right when we want to sometimes, we get hangry. That's just a real small illustration of how impatient and bitter a man can get if we allow that, you know, to take root in us. You have to understand that Satan is going to try to make you bitter at everything. You know, make you act like everything's going wrong. I'll tell you what, men, be very careful about politics. Be very careful about politics. Because this 24-hour news cycle that is just going on, and all it does is sell complaining about whatever politician they have on the grill. You know what I mean? And all it is just nonstop. You should be bitter at this politician, bitter at them, bitter at this, bitter at that. That spirit will get into a man, and that spirit will start to operate in the home. You know what? I don't know what every politician is doing today. I don't care. I want to know what God is doing today. And when it comes to politicians, even the evil ones, we pray that God would peacefully remove the ones that are causing trouble. We have to appeal to God's authority. We got to pray for these men and women in government, whether you agree with them or not, because they are under demonic assault. Folks, it's like this. How many of you know that the pastor of a church will face more demonic assault than the people of the church? Absolutely. Why? Because he's in spiritual headship in that local church. Well, everybody, we need to know this, that the man of the home is like the pastor of the house. He's going to be attacked more than the rest because Satan always attacks headship, tries to get men bitter, upset. Everything disgusts them. Everything is wrong. Politics make them bitter. They're bitter at their job. They're bitter at their bosses. Guys, I'm here to tell you, you will divide your own kingdom. If you're sitting around talking with your friends about all that you wish your wife would do right, I'm telling you, you're going to divide your own kingdom if you're sitting around complaining about your boss at work. Oh, come on now. Bitterness. Bitterness. Discouragement, fear, temper, and bitterness are the things that come against men. Guys, let's rise above it. Yeah. Amen. Let's not be discouraged. Let's not be afraid. I'll tell you what our nation needs, what our community, what our city needs, is more and more men taking their place as spiritual heads of the home. Men that are walking with God first. Men that I am so grateful. I think of my spiritual heritage, you know, both in my family. I'm so privileged to have godly men that have surrounded me, you know, in my natural family, but also in spiritual leadership. You know, I'm very grateful for Pastor Michael. It's always been God first with him. God first. Amen. And I'll tell you what, our society needs to see men who lead their families to church, who lead their families to praise, who doesn't complain about tithing but enjoys to tithe, who loves to serve. Are you here today? And we'll end right here. Flip over to Proverbs 24 in verse 5. This will be the end of the message. Proverbs 24:5, here's the answer. Jesus talked about a strong man. Well, what makes a man strong? Look at this. I love this. Proverbs 24:5, it says, a wise man is strong. Hey, guys, God called you to be a pursuer of wisdom. Wisdom. All right. It says, and a man of knowledge increases power. I like that. The word increases, it means multiplies power. Think about what you have, the opportunity that you have, guys, to lead your home. Why does God want the man to be strong? Why does he want the man to increase in strength? The word power there means strength. The King James uses the word strength. A man of knowledge increases strength. You know why? Because the family is going to depend on it.
Yeah. Amen.
I'm going to say something that's going to make the feminists mad. I'm not trying to attack feminists. You know, there's a true, you know, a godly role that a woman has in the home. And I'm sorry, I don't have time to address that here today. We certainly know and understand the power and the just importance and how essential it is for a mother and a wife and all the things that God leads her to do. But I'm here to tell you, the home does depend on a man.
Sure.
Yes. Boy, that went over well. Yeah, I didn't expect any party favors to shoot off when I said that. People say, well, no, I don't depend on anything but God. Doesn't matter, God's strength. Yeah, yeah, I understand what we mean when we say that. But why does the Bible say that a man has to be strong in the house? He says that a man has to be strong because you're in a world filled with evil. You're walking right in the midst of Satan's kingdom. You're in the valley of the shadow of death. And you're going to need strength, and your wife is going to need your strength, and your kids are going to need your strength. Our nation and our community needs your strength. And it says a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases power. Why does Satan just try to keep you out of the Bible, men? Because he knows you'll multiply your strength. You'll become really effective when the more you know in here. I look at these men that know the Word of God. As I look across this congregation, you are a threat to Satan's kingdom. He is terrified of a man who leads his home with strength and knowledge of the Word of God. Wisdom is the ability to value doing things God's way. Wisdom is the ability to value doing things God's way. I said this earlier, and I'll say it again. Wisdom is the ability to respect eternal values over temporary thrills. Men, one of our greatest weaknesses in this life is temporary thrill. Men are just absolutely, you know, tempted, you know, with temporary thrill. Oh, look, it's Sunday morning, but the sun is shining. I'm going to go fishing instead. Oh, you know, I'd rather do this. I'd rather, you know, do that. I'd rather, you know, go and work my business and do all this instead of put God first. Temporary thrill. Men are constantly tempted with temporary thrill. Wisdom is the ability to value eternal things over temporary thrills. This is the assault upon the mind of men. Satan wants men to love temporary things that have no eternal value. All of a sudden, all the temporary things get all of our attention, all of our strength. See, a wise man puts eternal things first, and he increases strength. Praise the Lord. The more a man knows about spiritual principles, the more a man values the things of God, the stronger he becomes. The stronger the home becomes, the stronger the community and the nation becomes. Amen. Men are supposed to set the conscience in the home and the spiritual temperature in the nation. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. So men, like you're doing, many of you are already doing this, lead your home with God's value system. Amen. What God values is what the man is supposed to value, and he's supposed to insist that his home values the things of God. Wisdom, absolutely valuing eternal things over just temporary thrills. Hey, listen, nothing wrong. There are godly, appropriate, you know, temporary thrills. There's things that, you know, God will bless you with. The whole home, your whole family, you know, even for the man individually, even for the wife individually, there's blessings in this life. They're temporary, though, and they are not supposed to get our attention more than eternal things. This is what will make a man strong. I'll tell you what, it is powerful to see a man, you know, worshiping in his home, a man that's bringing his family to church, a man that loves to give to God, a man who loves to serve. I'll tell you what, our nation and our generation needs to see more of it. Amen? I don't know why the Spirit of God had me to preach this today. I'm not aware of any specific scenarios going on in the church that I needed to address. But this was what the Spirit of God had me to preach, and that's my message, and I'm sticking to it. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. You are faithful and good. Lord, we glorify your holy name. Lord Jesus, you said, how can a thief get into a home and steal all that it has unless he first binds the strong man? Lord, we know that these are spiritual principles. Father, we know that there is a kingdom of God. We know that there's a kingdom of Satan. We know that there's kingdoms of men. And Father, we see that the devil himself would try to attack the strong man of the house. We see that it is his strategy to start with the man first, because he is the spiritual head of the home. Father, we see that Satan would try to tear down a man and divide the house through discouragement, through the fear of putting God first and what it would cost. Father, we see that the devil would try to tempt men to be spiritually lazy or indifferent or disinterested in God. Father, we see that Satan would try to encourage men to lose their temper, to fly out of control, that the devil would try to influence and to put pressure on a man to make him bitter against his wife or bitter about life in general. Father, but you said a wise man is strong. A wise man has strength. A wise man values eternal things over temporary thrills. A wise man loves the house of the Lord. The wise man loves his wife, nurtures his kids. A wise man keeps himself under control. A wise man serves his family, provides for them, and makes sure that they put God first. A wise man loves to pray. A wise man chooses to pray. A wise man will cast down those thoughts of discouragement and fear, even when the devil seems to be telling you the truth about yourself. Don't beat yourself up. Ladies, don't beat your husband up, not saying that you are, but don't fall into that temptation. Guys, don't let your thoughts just pound against you and try to hurt you. Cast those thoughts down. And just go ahead and make a decision to step up. Take your role of spiritual headship. Take it seriously. Step into the plan that God has for your life and watch him bless you and bless your kids. Value what God values. Father, you are so good and so faithful. Father, we pray just specifically today. We pray for the men that are in this building. We pray for the men that may be watching via live stream or that might catch this video at some point. Father, I pray for all men within the sound of my voice. Father, I pray that you would give them courage to stand up against that fear that is trying to hold them back. Father, we pray that you would raise up godly men, spiritual heads of the home, to take their place, to lead their family with strength, with godliness, with wisdom, with eternal values. Father, I pray for every man in this place here today. Father, place your hand upon them, raise them up, speak to them, give them revelation in your word. Help them to be the example that you've called them to be. Thank you, Lord. We praise you. With all eyes closed, every head bowed, before we dismiss, please, everybody ask yourself this question: have I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life? You know, the Bible says in Romans 10:9, it says that if you'll confess or speak with your mouth that Jesus is Lord And if you'll believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Folks, I'm going to tell you the truth. There's a heaven, there's a hell. But the good news is God doesn't want you to go to hell. He wants you to go to heaven. He wants you to know him. He wants you to be saved. And that scripture tells us exactly how to get saved, to confess faith in Jesus, to open up your heart and to speak those words and to say, I believe Jesus is Lord and I take him as my personal Savior. If you're here today and you've never done that, I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to call you down front or anything like that. But if you're here today and you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, the only thing I'm going to ask you to do is to put your hand up for just 1 or 2 seconds. When I see your hand, I will have you put it right back down. Then I will lead the entire congregation in a prayer, and right there in your seat, you can pray and invite Jesus into your life. If that's you, could you lift your hand now, please? Is there anyone here that you say, Pastor, I need to be saved. I need to make sure that heaven is my home. I need Jesus as my Lord and my Savior. If that's you, could you lift your hand now? Is there anyone? I see that hand. Thank you. You can put it down. Is there anyone else that you'd say, Pastor, that's me. I know that I want to be saved. It's not about family church. It's not about joining this church or anything like that. Well, we did have a hand. Is there anyone else that you just feel on the inside of your heart that you need to respond? Just go ahead. It's not the lifting of the hand that saves you. It's going to be the prayer of faith, trusting Christ. Well, let's all pray this prayer. If you lifted your hand, speak these words out of your mouth. Don't just think them with your mind. Mean it with all your heart, and God will hear you. Let's all pray this together. Say, Dear Heavenly Father, I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe in my heart that you raised him from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord Jesus, wash me, cleanse me, forgive me of my sins. Be my Lord and Savior all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Did you get something out of that here today? Let's go ahead, let's stand to our feet. Let's just rejoice and be glad. Folks, have a wonderful rest of your afternoon. We just command God's highest and best and his blessing upon you. Father God, we just glorify you. You are faithful. You are good. And Father, we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' mighty name. And everyone shouted, amen. You are dismissed.